Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we are able to be together in prayer today. It is Tuesday, and this is the 20th week after Pentecost. This week we will spend some time considering what it means for us that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and today we will finish reading the longer ending of the Gospel of Mark. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding Word of God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 9. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. This is the longer ending of the Gospel of Mark. I wonder if you, before we started this, if you knew that there were these three different endings, the one that ends sort of abruptly at verse 8, the shorter ending that we looked at yesterday, and today this longer ending that includes more of the parts of the story that we're familiar with, of the things that happened after Jesus' resurrection, including the disciples' initial disbelief of the women's witness and the witness of the two who were in the country, which bears kind of a resemblance to Luke's story of the two men who meet Jesus on the road to Emmaus and then come back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles. Strange to this account, however, is the way Jesus scolds the disciples for not believing when Jesus appears before the 11 as they are eating. There is also all sorts of doubts and unbelief in the other gospel stories, too. But here it seems to be a little more front and center, at least in this first part. There's some comfort in that. It's not like it was any easier to believe that Jesus rose from the dead then than it is now. They truly had to see him, touch him, eat with him, spend time with him before they began to truly believe what happened. Because that kind of stuff didn't happen then and or now. And Jesus' resurrection is a unique kind of event. It's a one-off, a once-only event. And it is unique in that it also changes everything about the way we think about or talk about Jesus. Jesus' resurrection confirms everything he said about himself, about how he is the witness to the Father, about how he is the one that was sent by the Father, and his resurrection vindicates everything that he did. And it is at the center with Christ, our most holy faith. It is the good news, or as we acclaim in our communion liturgy, it is the good news that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, the mystery of our faith. Because without Jesus' resurrection, we really have no faith, and nothing has changed. For the rest of this week, we're going to consider the Apostle Paul's teaching on the resurrection. Some of the more sophisticated people in the Corinthian church were struggling to believe that part of the good news message. Or worse yet, they were trying to just simply turn it into a metaphor. We will hear what Paul has to say about the resurrection and the important implications for us in Jesus' rising from the dead, as well as Jesus' promise to raise us up with him as well. The resurrection is God's triumph over the power of sin and death. But before we get into what the Spirit teaches us through Paul, let's spend a little time, maybe today, meditating on this mystery. What are the implications of Jesus' resurrection for your life in this world and the promise of life in a world to come? It would be good to have some thoughts already in our mind when we start to listen to and respond to Paul's teaching. And it is always also good to begin each day by doing what Wendell Berry once said, practicing resurrection. Perhaps ending our day by lying down in faith and then waking up with joy and praise in God's presence to the new day that God has created. Looking forward to the new creation that is promised, which Jesus himself is the first fruits. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. In you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationship with others. For what else are we thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world, heal the hurts of all of your children, and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for the sick, for the dying, for those who are bereaved, for those who care for the sick, for those who accompany those who mourn, for those who govern the nations of the world, for people in countries ravaged by strife or warfare, and for all who are working to bring about peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. For who else or for what else are we praying this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.